to the Starting Over Stronger Show, where you'll find help and hope for your divorce survival and recovery. Divorce well, live well.
Hello and welcome back to the Starting Over Stronger Divorce Survival and Recovery Show. This is Annie and I am here today to talk to you about creating a happy new life. It's that time of year, you know, new year, new you. You see it everywhere. And if you're in the middle of a divorce or trying to recover from one, you may roll your eyes a little. You know, it's a hard time. It's really difficult to wrap our heads around the hopefulness of phrases like happy new life. And that's really why I wanted to come on here today to talk to you, because if there's one thing Starting Over Stronger is all about, it's hope. And I know that many of you have to be asking, here we go again, another new year, happy new year, happy new you, right? And so maybe you're not feeling too happy at the moment. And so how do you find hope in the new year when you're in the middle of this mess? And as someone who's been there and whose divorce actually stretched from November through April, I know all too well the uncertainty and turbulence of a holiday divorce. So I have some things that I'd like to share with you about that. And I know it's hard. It's really hard to paint on a smile on the everydays of the year, but it's especially difficult during the holidays. And sometimes, frankly, it feels impossible. Life is maybe harder right now than it's ever been, harder than you ever imagined it would be, even if you wanted the divorce, and certainly if you didn't. And you're probably facing battles with your finances, your soon-to-be ex, maybe your kids, and perhaps even your mental health or your faith. And one thing I can tell you for sure is that on your search for a new year, new life, hope, it's not going to be found in your circumstances. It's quite actually true for every area of your life, but your hope or your lack thereof are coming from how you choose to experience the circumstances in your life. It all starts in your mind. The secret to my slogan, divorce well, live well, is that the hope and the ease that you are desiring right now is not actually going to be found in your circumstances. It's going to be found in your mindset, your perspective, your beliefs, and your attitudes. And that can be a hard pill to swallow. Here I am sitting here telling you, when you're in the middle of this big mess, that it's really up to you whether you feel good or not. And it is. There's a meme circulating on Facebook lately that says something like, and when there's no one there to kiss goodnight and no one's asking when you will be home, do you call that freedom or loneliness? And I've seen numerous people post that image. And I often take time to scroll through the comments. And sadly, it would not be a good movie. I would estimate that roughly 90%, maybe 95% of the commenters said they call that loneliness. Maybe it's the pages I'm on. I follow pages where women and men who are going through divorce tend to gather. So the thing is, that is a mindset issue. Because truly, there are people who have no one to kiss goodnight, and no one is asking them when they will be home, and they call it freedom, and they love it. And then there are other people in that exact same situation who are terribly lonely, and it really, truly is a decision. And as hard as that is to hear, it's the most truthful thing I can say to you, because someone else in the exact same circumstances calls loneliness freedom, or freedom, loneliness, we know that it's not actually the aloneness that causes the loneliness. It has to be something else, right? Here's a famous quote that I expect you will be familiar with, as I am, and I think you'll find it meaningful as we think about this hope that we want to find in our happy new year. And it is a Charles Swindoll quote, and it says, I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. So, rather than dragging along in the same rut of thinking that you maybe have had for months as you divorce, or has felt like it's been your reality maybe for years as your marriage was dying a slow death, as mine once did, as you contemplate your divorce this New Year's week, I want you to ask yourself one simple question. How would it feel if you were to choose less suffering as you divorce? I'm going to ask that again. How would it feel if you were to choose less suffering? And I want you to think about that, because actually just this morning, it's not even a part of my thoughts originally on this topic, but just this morning I heard or read something that said it's actually pain plus struggling that leads to suffering. Pain is a reality. Pain is going to happen. Doesn't matter whether you get divorced or not. There's going to be pain in your life. It's when we struggle with it that we suffer. So how would it feel if we decided that we're not going to struggle with the pain anymore? We're going to accept it. Do you believe that it's a choice? Are you willing to put down the ego of bitterness and anger and choose instead acceptance and grace for yourself and, dare I say it, even for your soon-to-be ex, without anyone or anything changing about your circumstances? You can see a dramatic shift to a more hopeful space this new year, even in the middle of a divorce. As you know, if you've listened for long, one of my personal heroes is Brené Brown. And if you've followed the show for long, you know I have kind of a girl crush on her. Maybe it's more like a brain crush. My brain just gets all bouncy and happy when I read or hear Brené speak. She is like my spirit animal. I want to be her when I grow up. Seriously. And if you know anything about her, you know her subject matter expertise is shame. She calls herself a shame researcher, which sounds utterly boring and dreadful, but it's actually incredible. And you'll have to follow her to see what I mean by that, if you haven't already. And here is just a small tasting of what I consider to be her brilliance. Brené was once quoted as saying, "If I could give men and women in relationship and leaders and parents one life hack, I would give them the story I'm making up." Have you heard about this? You're gonna love it. Basically, you're telling the other person in any difficult situation your take of the situation, simultaneously admitting that you know it can't be 100% accurate. So in other words, there's some difficulty, there's some rift between you and someone else. And instead of saying, "You did this," or "You did that," or "You're doing this or that," you say, "The story I'm making up is that when you do fill in the blank, you're doing it because fill in the blank. Now, I know that can't be right, or maybe it is. Correct me if I'm wrong." And so it's going into a situation willing to let your ego down to say, "I might not be seeing this accurately. I understand that when my emotions get involved in something, I sometimes misperceive things. So help me understand this." That's another way I've heard it said, and I've said it many times to people. "Help me understand, because I don't believe that the thing that I'm thinking, the story I'm making up, could possibly be true. So what is the truth?" And it gives that person a chance to own up to their behavior, to adjust your perspective if that needs to be. But it allows for a conversation to take place. And Brené Brown talks about this, the story I'm making up concept, as a lifesaver, which I agree, because it's honest, it's transparent, it's vulnerable. And because she's a researcher, she has the data to back it up from scores of interviews she's done for her best-selling books, Daring Greatly and Rising Strong. Since I read those books years ago, vulnerability has been a hot topic for me, and I know for a lot of other people, she's creating a global conversation about being honest and transparent in our relationships. And that goes not just for the people that we live with, but the people that we work with and the people that we encounter as we go through our days. Vulnerability simply creates the possibility for two people to relate better to one another and to trust one another. And when you say the story I'm making up is, you're basically saying, I want you to see me and understand me and hear me, and knowing what you really mean is more important to me than being right or protecting myself. So you're exposing yourself, you're putting yourself out there, but you're opening up an opportunity and the possibility for connection that wouldn't happen if you didn't do that. So with those five words, you're able to check the narrative that's going on in your head, and you're able to invite somebody that you trust or want to trust to help you make sense of the disagreement or the misunderstanding that's happening. So think about that when you think about the fact that right now you're exiting a difficult relationship. So how does the story I'm telling myself affect that situation? I mean, you probably are thinking, even as I'm talking, well, it's too late. I wish I'd have known this a long time ago. Well, simply put, the majority of the self-destructive things that we do, the things that we get in our own way on, are the ways in which we unwittingly sabotage our own desires. These are the stories that we're telling ourselves. So maybe when your ex, soon to be ex, says something hurtful, blaming, or projecting something onto you, you immediately go to a story of, he's doing this on purpose. He's trying to destroy my life. And you know, honestly, sometimes it does feel like that. And that may not be too far from the truth in some situations. But the fact is, reframing things changes how we respond to them. So here are some just typical examples in divorce situations. The story that you might be telling yourself is, my ex purposefully did not tell me this information because he's selfish and he just loves to see me upset. Now, the reality is that he or she has maybe often been not so great at sharing details and planning things with the kids or whatever the issue is. Maybe it's not that he's trying to sabotage you. Maybe he's just not a good detail person, and maybe that's always been the case. And then another one would be, you know, the story that you tell yourself that you're going to lose everything and struggle for the rest of your life. There's actually a name for it. It's called the bag lady syndrome. And the reality is that your financial situation is changing. And what's going on right now is temporary. It can adjust, and it may be less than what you're used to, but even if it is, you can adjust and rebuild from there. So you're not going to lose everything and struggle for the rest of your life. And you don't want to put that kind of energy out there into the world. So check that story in your head if that's something you're struggling with. Another story might be, my attorney is dragging out this process just to suck me of all my money. Now, the reality might be that your attorney has very little control over the court process and is doing his or her best, understands your frustration, and is doing everything they can to lessen it. And maybe the truth is that you do have an attorney that's not really taking your case seriously or representing you well. And maybe you need to interview other attorneys to possibly seek a change of counsel to be sure that your interests are being well represented. It could go either way, but it's the story that you tell yourself about it that makes all the difference. Another example is that you're going to be sad and alone for the rest of your life because all men are the same or all women are the same. The reality is you have fear, very rightfully so in this moment, around creating a new life, around beginning to date. And you don't need to worry about that for a long time if you're in the middle of your divorce. But, you know, you're, by the time you get to the place where you really are ready to date, you're not going to feel that way. You're going to like the idea of meeting new people and having new experiences and not tying your whole identity up and is this the one every single time you go for coffee or a happy hour with somebody. You're going to look at it differently over time. And so until then, the right story to tell yourself is that you're capable of enjoying meeting new people so that you can create a life you love, whether you're single or whether you seek to find a new love eventually. Now, another story you might tell yourself is that God doesn't exist or that he's punishing you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be putting you through such pain and suffering. And the reality is that God is more interested in healing and refining us than he is in keeping us comfortable. It is actually through our pain and struggles that we transform into our best selves if we're willing to keep the focus on growth and personal development. So you have to change the story that you're telling yourself in order to change the emotional experience that you're having around that issue. So the next time you find yourself sad or mad, those are pretty good indicators that it's time to check the story that you're telling yourself in your head and see what reality might really be better for you to focus on. My life's prayer has been the Serenity Prayer. I've always quoted it. I've used it often as a positive affirmation because we all need the courage to change what we can, the willingness to accept what we do not have any control over, and the discernment or wisdom to understand which one's which. So as you seek to have a happy new life, you will have to come to terms with this. Your mindset is everything. Period. Full stop. When the stories that you are telling yourself involve fear, doom, and devastation. Are you struggling to decide whether divorce is the right decision for you, or just tired of feeling like you're broken and everything is all your fault? The decision of how and whether to leave a toxic relationship can take years without good support from people who understand. The Starting Over Stronger Toxic Relationship Recovery Support Group is designed with you in mind. Led by me, certified divorce and life transition coach Annie Allen, and with a small group of women in your shoes, you're going to find understanding here. We're going to talk about the patterns of these relationships and what you can do about them. There are currently two weekly groups running, one on Monday evenings at 6 p.m. Central and the other on your Wednesday lunch hour at noon Central. So whether you need an evening or a daytime group to meet your needs for privacy during this call, please consider joining us. If you're interested in learning more, just send an email with your interest from your secure email address that only you have access to Annie@startingoverstronger.com. And if you're in a controlling or abusive relationship, wondering how you could ever be a part of a support group like this without putting yourself at risk or exposing your desire to leave, please indicate that in your email and we can discuss solutions. You can make this work. And I know you feel alone, but you're not. Reach out and find the help you need.
I want to just offer you these steps to help you shift your mindset. I hope that you're not driving right now, but if you are, rewind back to this point in the recording and do this with a pen and paper in hand. I want you to write down these steps. Number one, challenge the story running through your head. Figure out what it is and then challenge it. Remove the emotion from it and find the facts. What is real? What is the actual factual situation that is happening? Number two, if you're invited to an argument, don't accept the invitation. Did you know you have that option? Your peace is important, and you're the only person in the entire universe that can say no to a useless argument. So pick your battles, let everything you can go, focus on facts, to make wise decisions so that you can stay in that peaceful mindset where you can keep a hold of your hope. Number three, create a mantra or say a prayer that resonates with you and anchor your mind there. Number four, remember, this too shall pass. Everything that comes into our life comes to pass, not to stay. So remember in that moment when the height of emotion, this too will pass. Number five, look how far you've come. If you and I have been working together in a coaching relationship, I will remind you of this every time I hear it in your voice, every time you say something that you would not have said the first time we were on a phone call together. I want you to stop and reflect when you see how far you've come, because that just provides you with the incentive and the encouragement to keep going, because you see that you have a track record for success. You have a track record for being able to progress through things. And then lastly, choose peace. In every single situation in life, remember to choose peace. When you get upset about something you see on a social media post, is it really going to help you or anyone else for you to comment on it? Or should you choose peace? When you get that nasty message on text from your soon-to-be ex or on Our Family Wizard even, do you respond in kind or do you say, I choose peace? When you're freaking out, thinking your whole world is coming to an end, are you able to stop yourself and go, wait a minute, I'm going to choose peace. I will get through this. I've gotten through everything else before. I will get through this too. Again, I told you the Serenity Prayer has been a life changer for me. I think it just really summarizes so much of what we face in life. And I'm going to read it to you. There's kind of two parts to it. There's the part that everybody's heard because it's everywhere. It's very short and sweet. And it captures the essence of what I want to absorb when I hear it. But there's also a seldom displayed second part to the verse that is longer and more detailed. And I think it really helps to frame it well. So I'm gonna share all of it with you. And I really want you to think about your happy new life and the decisions that you make every single day that leads you in the direction of either peace or frustration, anger, irritability, fear, doubt, doom, and gloom. You get the idea. So just think about it as we think through this serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, and taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. And so let's just break that down a little bit. There's three things. Acceptance or serenity, courage, and wisdom. So what we're asking for is the peacefulness to accept that there are things that I can't change. Maybe those things are that this divorce was filed to begin with. Maybe you didn't want it. Maybe those things are you did want the divorce, but you didn't expect for a fight for your very survival financially when you have a pretty decent sized estate and you should, you know, be able to get a pretty good settlement. And maybe you're having to fight for that. That's not necessarily something you can change. But then you also need the courage to change what you can. So in that case, the courage is to say, you know, I know what is rightfully mine in this situation, and I'm not going to fight about it. I'm going to just hire the right attorney, and I'm going to make sure that I take the right steps to have the courage to change what I can. And then the wisdom to know the difference. and in every situation in life, serenity, courage, and wisdom to know the difference. And then think about it, you have to live one day at a time and enjoy one moment at a time. If you get ahead of yourself, that's where all the anxiety is. I've said it before, and I have to remind myself of it quite often, actually, that if you're living in the past, you're going to struggle with depression. If you're living in the future, you're going to struggle with anxiety. The only way to have peace is to just focus on today. You cannot do anything about yesterday, and you can't do a whole lot about tomorrow except with what you do today. So live today, enjoy one moment today, every moment that you're given, enjoy it to the best that you can. And just accept that there are going to be hard places, hard seasons, hard people to love on this pathway to peace. And you have to accept that, because you can't change it. That's one of the things that can't be changed, that you have to have that acceptance of. And this is a sinful world, and there's a lot of things that are going wrong in it. And it's really easy to get sucked into that and feel hopeless. I think we've all been there this last couple of years. If you haven't, please call me. I need to talk to you about how to not be there, because it's just so normal to get sucked into that and want to try to make the world the way that we want it to be. But this prayer reminds me that I have to just take the world as it is and the people in it the way they are, because that's where they are in their journey. I really, truly do believe that everyone's doing the best they can with what they have and where they are in this moment. Does that mean I have to have a relationship with them or open myself up to them if they are toxic or abusive? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I have to accept that that's where they are and let them be there and love them from a distance if need be, but love them and let them go and focus on trusting that God is taking care of it all in His timing, which isn't ours. All we can really do is just surrender to whatever happens, you know, kind of taking it is what it is position on a lot of things in life. And when we do all of those things, then we can be reasonably happy in this life. It doesn't mean we're going to be happy every moment. It just means that we can be reasonably happy overall. And then certainly supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Your new life may feel more alone than you've felt in a very long time, maybe ever. But that does not mean you have to go it alone. There are hundreds of men and women navigating similar circumstances to yours, and you can find those people in your little corner of the world, in divorce care groups and churches across America, in other groups that you may find on social media, on Meetup. There's just so many ways to connect in today's day and age. And one such place is on the community that I have created on Facebook called Starting Over Stronger After Divorce. And that is a place where you are invited to join us and support and encourage one another on this journey. If you haven't already, please do go find Starting Over Stronger After Divorce. It is a Facebook support group. And there, beyond that, there are weekly support groups that I lead through Zoom with people that are connecting with one another to do the exact same thing, to support and encourage one another, to not go it alone, to know that there's nothing to hide. Yeah, divorce can be something that you want to keep private. You don't want to tell the whole world, but it's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to hide in that you don't need to be afraid that people are going to think differently about you because you're going through a divorce. Half of us have gone through a divorce or will be. So don't feel like you have to hide. Don't feel shame. Just reach out and get the help you need. I mean, that's the message that I've had ringing through my ears for quite a while now, but especially today in several places, is just stop thinking that you have to do everything alone. You do not have to. And we were made to need each other, to help each other, because we're all going through stuff. Your stuff might be different than my stuff, but it's still stuff and it still sucks. And it sucks more when you try to do it by yourself. So this New Year's week, my encouragement to you is to reflect on how you want 2022 to look different than 2021. You know, last week we talked about a one word approach to growth and personal development. And I really think that is a really simplified way to approach your new year. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to that. It's a simple way to more or less create an environment in your life where you can forget about resolutions. I mean, resolutions, if you can stick to them, great. Most people don't. I keep hearing January 17th is National Quit Day. Most of us don't even make it to February on those resolutions. And I think that's probably because resolutions are just putting a Band-Aid on things. It's not really addressing the heart of what led you to where you felt like you needed to make that resolution. Whatever it is that you resolved to change, it's because there was a problem, right? Well, you can't just say, I'm going to change this problem all of a sudden and think that magically, because it's January 1st on a calendar, you're going to suddenly be able to change that. If you don't explore the psychology of why you got in that situation to begin with. So think about that and how you could apply that to your desire and your plans for 2022 to create a happy new life. With a one word, or just with a new prayer or a new positive affirmations. I think I've talked about this before. If you haven't yet checked it out, I would encourage you to get the Think Up app. That is Think Up, all one word. And it is a free app you can get on your phone, and you can select from a bunch of different positive affirmations that are offered in that community, but you can also write your own. And then you record them in your own voice. And then you choose some background music or binaural beats or something that you can play in the background of those, and you play them to yourself. So you're speaking positive affirmations into your life. And there's something about your brain hearing your own voice saying those things to you that just helps concrete them. So I definitely think that's something to check out if you haven't yet, if as part of a happy new life. And what will help you fully receive new hope in this new year during your divorce or following your divorce? Only you can answer that. Spend some time journaling and reflecting on what it is that you need. And I will see you again next week for more help as you divorce and hope as you are starting over stronger.